Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. That's our key scripture for this series. And as you're turning, I just want to remind the church that the Lord had put on my heart months ago, we've talked about this, that we are going to have a healing crusade in South Dayton. Yes. Praise God. And, you know, in the Bible, the healing power of God was the dinner bell to salvation. What do I mean by that? You know, when the dinner bell rings, that's people start coming. Well, healing is that dinner bell. And you see in the Bible, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people get healed after a move of God. And, you know, all it takes is somebody that's been told that they'll never be able to do something again to get healed to set off a spark. And God's doing the same thing yesterday, today, and forever. And so be releasing your faith for that. Remember, be believing God for signs, wonders, and miracles. And believe in God, you know, this area needs to see a move of God. They need to see, you know, it's one thing to hear about God, but the Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that He's good. You know, people in the Old Testament got to experience God. They got to experience His healing power, His miracle, signs, wonders, power. He's not, somewhere along the line, people got involved, right, and dumbed it down and watered it down and made God a different God. God's never changed. God's doing the same thing He always has, but He needs people to cooperate with Him. Remember over there in Mark chapter 6, the Bible said Jesus in His own hometown could there do no mighty work. That's Jesus. Didn't say He didn't want to. It said He could there do no mighty work. Well, we know God was ready. We know Jesus was ready. Every other town He went to, there were miraculous signs, wonders, and miracles. But the Bible said in His own hometown, He could there do no mighty work. And the Bible goes on to say that Jesus marveled at their unbelief. So the people hindered the move of God. Well, we're not going to hinder the move of God here. So be crying out every day, Father, signs, wonders, and miracles. Pour out Your Spirit upon all flesh of this area. Amen? Amen. If we'll do that in one accord, we'll see God move. And it'll change coworkers. It'll change family. It'll change friends, praise God, who weren't believers. We'll see people getting healed. And they'll say, I got to check this out. They'll come in. They'll get touched by God. Hallelujah. And they'll never be the same. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Father, we're so grateful and so thankful for what You're doing. Father, we love You and adore You. We just take You at Your word, Father. We thank You. You are a miracle-working God. And Father, one of the wonderful miracles You've given us that we can partake of each and every day is Your word. A miraculous GPS that leads us to all the blessings that You have for us. Father, we are honored to know You. We are honored to be gathered around Your word. And Father, just like the psalmist of old said, make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Father, I endeavor to speak words from heaven this morning, straight from the Holy Spirit. So help me, speak through me. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And I pray that You'd give people ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So Father, open hearts this morning. Thank You for wisdom, insight, and revelation. Thank You for bullseyes that are going to be hit, and lives that are going to be changed, and destinies that will be overturned onto Your path of glory. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I don't have a ton of time for review. All these messages are on live stream, but I'm actually getting the sense of a leading to turn this into a CD box set. This is one of the longest series I've done. I've done a healing series long, done a faith series long. But this series might go 7 or 8 weeks, and we're going to turn that into a box set because it is so important that people are led by the Spirit of God. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And then I call verse 6 an invitation from God. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Well, number one, it's important to find out what kind of paths God's directing on. Well, you see this Psalm 23. He leads beside the still waters, beside the green pastures. In 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So if that's God's will, He's going to lead you according to His will. So when you trust in Him with all your ways, every area of your life, child raising, relationships, finances, jobs, vehicle, where to live, different things. He said, if you'll trust Me, acknowledge Me, not lean on your own way of doing it. He said, I'll direct your paths. What's that mean? He'll turn you to His way of doing it, to His path, which is always the path of blessing.
Amen.
It's always a path of good things. He's a good Father. If you ever question if God's good or not, here's what you need to do. I call it the Jesus rule. What I mean by that, Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was God on the earth. If you wonder, what is my God like? Just look at Jesus. We never see Jesus make people sick. We never see Jesus hurt people. We never see Jesus condemn people. We only see Jesus spreading love, mercy, peace, grace, healing, prosperity, provision, right? If you're ever wondering, God's good, amen? God is good. He has good things for you. He said, if you'll acknowledge me. So we have to figure out what does that mean, Lord? How are you going to direct our paths? Well, Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 tells us, again, this is just real fast review. Romans 8 and verse 14, how is he leading in the New Testament? Because he did things different in the Old Testament. We're not in that dispensation anymore. Doesn't mean you throw out the Old Testament, but man, I'll tell you what. Let me just say this for people studying the Word of God. Don't spend the majority of your time in the Old Testament. You know what actually is more for you is from the book of Acts all the way to Jude, that's the books that are written to the church. That's the books that are written to the dispensation of people that are around after, in the revelation, after Jesus died on the cross and was born again. Listen, don't spend a ton of time in Leviticus. Don't spend a ton of time in Deuteronomy. There's things we can glean from those things, but my God, we need to spend time in the epistles where we find out who we are in Jesus, because that's the dispensation we live in. Hallelujah. Praise God. You get confused doing that kind of stuff. You'll find in most of my Bibles, this Bible's not very worn out because I only use it for preaching, but the ones that I study and look at, you'll find out there's a certain section that's all worn out. What is that? That's Acts to Jude, man, and the epistles where Paul, where after the church is born again and find out what belongs to us, how to live our lives, amen? Well, this is what he said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He says, for as many as are led, well, that's the same word as guide, that's the same word as directed. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So how do we get to the green pastures, the still waters, the prosperity, the health, and the peace? Well, we're going to get there by learning to be led by the Spirit of God. That's how God's doing it in the New Testament. He's leading people by the Spirit. And we saw that when you get born again in John chapter 14, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you and dwells in you. The Bible says you'll know him, for he'll be with you, and he shall be in you. So the Spirit of God, which is God, by the way, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 7, there's three that bear witness in heaven, and these three are one, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is just as much God as God is God, amen? And he's dwelling on the inside of you. And we saw in those verses that the Holy Spirit's job is to hear from headquarters, hear from heaven, and then the Spirit's job is to relate to our spirit. We are a spirit being, and we saw, if you'd flip over to verse 16, Kim Lai, that would be a blessing. He said, the Spirit should be himself, bears witness with our spirit. Well, what's the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit? The things that the Spirit hears from the Father. He hears from the Father and then bears witness with our spirit and relays them to us. And then we should obey what the Father's saying. And that'll direct us and turn our lives onto God's path, onto God's plan for our life. Amen? Praise God. And it benefits us to do that. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. And then we're going to launch from here. We saw this the last 3 weeks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. You know those problems you've been having year after year after year? You know God's got the solution. You do realize your Father has a solution. Praise God. He's just waiting for you to acknowledge him. He's waiting for you to learn how to be led the way he's doing things. And he's waiting for you to obey him. Amen? He's got the answer to everything you could ever, any problem you ever have. If you want to know it bad enough, God will show you. He said, I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. He told Daniel, Daniel said this about God. He said, he's the God, the revealer of secrets. God's not playing hide and seek. He's playing show and tell. Amen? He's playing show and tell. He's not a hide and seek type of God. He said, if you diligently seek me, he said in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, he said, call unto me and I will answer you. But see, he said, I won't answer you until you first call. And then he said, I'll show you great and mighty things. But he said, you first got to call. You first got to seek me. Everyone that asks will find. He that knocks, it'll be opened. It all starts with us, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. So many Christians, and I was in that boat, and so many of my friends and family are still there. They're just waiting for God to do something, and God's in heaven saying, what more do you want me to do? I gave you Jesus. I gave you the Word of God. What more do you want me to do? Act on what I said. Act on what I put in my Word. Hallelujah. And that's the way it is with being led by the Holy Ghost. People spinning their wheels, same thing, year after year, digging a bigger and bigger rut. Why? They're not seeking God on them. God's got the answer. He doesn't want you wasting years of your life. He doesn't want you getting into poverty and sickness and stuff, doing and not figuring out how to get out of that stuff. So we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about you. He said, your. He said, you're made up of three parts. You are a triune being or a three-part being. You have three parts that make up you sitting in that seat. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live, and it lives in a body, right? We saw this, that the body is the earth suit, right? This is the natural man that stays here when this life's over. We saw that the soul is not the same as the spirit, which a lot of believers believe that. It's not, though. The soul is the mind of a person, the intellect of a person. We have one of those. But then it says that we're a spirit, and the spirit man's the real us. The one that's going to go on and live forever in eternity. Praise God. But we saw in the last 3 weeks that each one of these three-part beings that we are have a voice. And those voices are endeavoring to lead us every day. And God, the problem with that is people are listening to two out of the three and not listening to the one-third. And God's not in the two. God's in the one. Amen. The body has a voice, doesn't it? The voice of the body is emotions and feelings. And oh, how Christians are led by their feelings, by their emotions. Now, God gave you emotions so they can be good. But I'll tell you what, when you start letting them guide and direct your life, that's when they're a problem. Because your emotions and feelings can lie to you. They can tell you one thing and the Spirit's telling you a different thing. And we saw in the Word. And we saw examples in my own life. Well, you get in trouble following your emotions. Well, your mind also has a voice as well. The voice of your mind is thoughts and reasonings. And that's a problem to get into because God already said from the get-go, your thoughts aren't my thoughts. Your ways aren't my ways. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the ways thereof, the end of it is death. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, we can sit here and reason in our head. Should we? Shouldn't we? Pro and con. Google this. Talk to this person. Well, God's not in those things. God's in the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, your mind and your flesh can say one thing and God can be in and doing a completely different thing. It's just the truth. But then we saw last week that the Spirit has a voice. And the voice of your spirit is your conscience. The voice of your spirit is your conscience, right? That and God said, how you're led by the Spirit. He says, you shall go forth with joy, Isaiah 55, verse 12, and be led with peace. He said in Colossians 3, verse 15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Well, remember he said in Proverbs 27, verse 20, he said, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's how he's directing you. He said, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And so we know where that spirit man's located. We know that center part of a man, that belly region of a man. Hallelujah. And he said, that's how he's leading you. He said, let peace rule in your heart. The Amplified said, let peace, like an umpire, make the decision, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds. So when you're trying to figure out your mind, God says, don't figure it out your mind. Let the peace in your heart make the final call, because that's how God's leading you. Amen. Is by peace. We're caught up. Amen. We're here. Praise God. Are you ready to go forward today? Amen. Hallelujah. Change your life. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. That's where we're at, in a nutshell. So God said, I'm in one of the ways, which is leading by the Spirit, and the way that 99.9% of the time God's going to lead you is not through visions, not through dreams, not through Jesus appearing to you, angels appearing to you. He's going to lead you by peace. And see, the problem is, where people have missed it is, peace isn't spectacular, but it is supernatural. And see, it's amazing that we can be led by Almighty God. He's a supernatural God, and he's leading by peace. But here's where people run into the problem. They see that, okay, I don't go by my thoughts. I don't go by my feelings. I go by the Spirit, and the Spirit, the answer is peace. But Pastor Mike, I don't know. I can't decide. I can't decipher. Is it peace I'm having in my heart, or does it just feel good in my flesh? Is it peace I'm having in my heart, or does my mind just seem to agree with this stuff? And people are there all the time. And how many of you know your heart can be saying something different than your flesh and your mind? And it's important, if we're going to be led by the Spirit, to be able to decipher which is which. And so that's what part six of this series is today. How to train your spirit man. Because your spirit man has to be bigger and larger and louder than the voice of your flesh and the voice of your mind. Because whichever voice is louder and more pushy is going to win out. And see, the problem is people's flesh is so loud. People's minds are going so, they're so noisy in between their ears and different things. They're not hearing what the spirit man's saying. So I'm going to teach you today because I have people tell me all the time, Pastor, I don't know, is this God or not? It seems like peace, but I don't trust myself. I don't know if it's my flesh. I don't know if it's my mind. Well, I'm going to show you how to decipher and separate so you can know exactly what's God and exactly what isn't God. Amen? So that's what we're going to do. And this is an important, important part of following peace, of following the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says this, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." Say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm going to tell you. The Bible says the word of God has the ability to cut down the middle when the soul, which is the mind, gets a little bit mixed up with our spirit and we're not sure, is it us or is it the spirit? The Bible says the word can cut down right through there and put one on one side and one on the other side, right? See, if we all were to gather together and mingle all together, we wouldn't know which side each of us sits on. But when we've divided and set out, we know clearly this is this side, this is this side. And that's what the Holy Ghost does through the Word of God with our mind and our spirit. It cuts right down and lets you know that's your thoughts, that's what the Spirit's saying. So number one, are you ready? How to make your spirit more sensitive is spending much time in the Word of God. Amen. Meditating on the Word. Why? The Bible says the more you're around the Word, the more that division will become clear. Praise God. There's been things before, people, that felt so good to the flesh, seemed so good to the mind, and you start going that way and God's not in it, and then you get finally figuring out what your heart's saying, and your heart was saying something totally different. Well, you could have known that in the beginning if you had that division. Oh, that's my mind, that's my flesh, oh, that's God. Praise the Lord. Well, go to John 6 and verse 63. Say, how is this going to help me to discern? Well, we just saw it there what the Word has the capabilities of doing. But John 6 and verse 63 says this, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." That means to make alive. "The flesh profits nothing." The words, say words. So we're talking about the Bible here, the Word of God. "The words that I speak unto you," notice this, "they are spirit. They are life." So the Bible says that the Word of God is spiritual. Now, hold that thought and go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. And it'll become clearer to you why time in the Word will help your spirit. Remember, what we're talking about today is training your spirit so your spirit becomes bigger and louder than the voice of your mind and the voice of your flesh. So remember, Jesus said, "My words are spirit." Matthew 4 and verse 4, Jesus said this. He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live." Now that word "live" there in the Greek is the Greek word zoe. That word means the life of God or the life like God enjoys it. Or you could say it this way, heaven on earth. Remember he told the people over there in Deuteronomy, he said, you will have days of heaven on the earth. Remember Jesus said, I pray that your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. He said, I want that to invade down here. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he said this. He said, my words are spirit. So Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live. Man shall not truly experience the abundant life. Man shall not truly experience heaven on earth by bread alone, but every word. So he likens the Word of God to natural food or natural bread. But he said the natural means is not how you're going to live the abundant life. Remember, he just got done saying in John 6, 63, the flesh profits nothing. So it's not the natural man. He's saying, but how you can live the Zoe, the God kind of life, the heaven on earth kind of life, is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He's likening the Bible to natural food. So what am I saying to you? The Bible is spirit food for your spirit. The same way that, you know, chicken and fish and are good proteins for your body that help you get strong, lean muscle, the same way that natural food will help you build and get stronger is the same way the Word of God. Now, the Word of God has the most nutrients. It is the most protein-packed thing there ever was. I mean, it's filled with everything you could ever need, glory to God. And the Bible says that when you feast upon the Word of God, that's when you truly live. Why? Because the more you feast on the Word of God, the more your natural man is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I was watching a documentary about, I think it was Mr. Universe or something. I'm not sure what it was, but, you know, the diets. Now, these guys don't look like me. I know, you're shocked, but they don't. They don't look like me. They don't just, you know, wake up and eat, have, you know, the 2,000-calorie diet while they're training. How many calories can they have when they're training for those things, Vinny? I mean, 8 to 10,000, that's the kind of diet I want. Right there, 8 to 10,000 calories. But why? What's it doing? It's strengthening them. It's helping them build muscle. It's helping them get stronger. They can't just go to the cafeteria and put some lettuce on there and throw some carrots on there and just eat that. No, they got to have beef. They got to have chicken. They got to have fish. They got to have protein shakes and different things like that. Well, it's the same thing. The more they eat, the bigger and stronger it helps them get. Amen? Well, it's the same way with the Word of God. Now, see, when they eat it, they better do something, work out, or it's not going to turn into muscle. Well, it's the same way with the Word. When we feast on the Word, the way we work it out is by doing the Word. Amen. That's how we build it, and we feast on it. But the Bible says the more we eat on the Word of God, the bigger and stronger our spirit man will be. And I've said this time and time again, but it's worth repeating. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word, so I don't mind repeating myself. If there's anybody that can beat a dead horse, you're looking at them. Praise God. You know, imagine right now, ladies and gentlemen, and think about this for your own life. Remember, we dominate from the spirit man. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not the natural realm that we're against. It's the spiritual realm. Our spirit man needs to be strong. Our spirit man needs to be well built. Let's say today we decided to have a dinner over in the old sanctuary, and we ate, but we signed a pact that we said we're not going to put another thing in our mouths until next Sunday after church at the same time. Man, I'll tell you what, we will have some grumpy gills in here next Sunday. People would be weak. People would be ornery. People would be, you know, they wouldn't feel good. Maybe someone would come down with something. You'd get people with attitude problems. Why? They weren't fed properly, right? Now think about it. If the Bible is to what natural food is to our natural man, if the Bible is that to our spirit man, and we rule and reign from our spirit man, and we have to be led by our spirit man, what happens when we show up here, if we even faithfully show up here, and hear a message for 50 minutes, 55 minutes, just hour maybe, never know. But anyways, whatever we hear, and then we say, you know what? I'm not coming to midweek service. I'm not touching my Bible on Monday. I'm not touching it on Tuesday. I'm not touching it on Wednesday. I'm not touching it on Thursday. And you know what? Christians, they live this kind of a lifestyle year after year, and their spirit man, we would say that's crazy to do that to our natural bodies. We would waste away to nothing. We would be weak. We would be able to be pushed around. We would be able to not dominate and to get our work done and to enjoy our families. Yet people do this all the time with their spirits. They're starving their spirits. They spend no time in the Word. They spend no time with God around the dinner table. And they wonder, why aren't I dominating? Why are things running me over? Why is it tough time after time after time? It's because your spirit man. Why can't I hear from God? Because your spirit spirit man just this puny little thing that's crying out? I mean, we give our bodies at least 3 meals a day and then snacks in between. I mean, let's face it. It is a rare thing that we go a day without putting anything in our body. Yet it's become commonplace for Christians to go days after days without putting anything in their spirit. And they wonder, why can't I hear? Well, your flesh is this bodybuilding champion as far as the voice is concerned. Your mind, we've given so much time to the intellectual and processing things in our mind, thinking this, thinking that. And our mind and our flesh are like champions, and our spirit is like just this little puny thing that's trying to get a word in edgewise and can't. I know, ladies and gentlemen, this really gets right up in under you, steps on your toes. This isn't from condemnation. We have to understand, coming through these doors and sitting here does not make the Father love you more. Feasting on His Word does not change how God views you, but it changes your life. Amen. God loves you as much as He's ever going to love you. He already gave you Jesus. Reading the Bible doesn't make Him love you more. We don't do this to get on His good side. My God, I'm already on His good side. He gave me Jesus when I was in the worst of the worst conditions. He already demonstrated to me, I love you, son. Praise God. But what changes is, if we feast on this thing, the inward man will get stronger, the inward man will get louder, and we'll be able to hear in the division between what our minds and our bodies are saying. It'll be in separate compartments, and you'll know that's God, praise the Lord. Because my heart's telling me, and my heart's big, and my heart's strong. Praise God. You can't be a follower of the Holy Ghost and be skillful with it if you're not a feaster upon God's Word.
Amen.
Amen. Now go with me to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua 1 and verse 8. I love this verse. Oh, His Word is good, isn't it? Amen. See, if we would take the idea and renew our minds to the fact that I don't have to read my Bible. No, I get to, and it's a necessity for my inner man, the inward witness. Amen?
Amen.
You see, here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You know what the devil can duplicate? The devil can duplicate visions. The devil can duplicate dreams. The devil can give a minister a wrong word to speak over your life about your future. You know what the devil can't imitate? The voice of the inward witness. He can't imitate that. That's why it's so imperative that we have this man nice and loud on the inside, because that's how God's leading. But Joshua 1 and verse 8, we're talking again about meditating in the Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. Now notice this, day and night. What's that mean? God understands you have a job. God understands you have a life. What's it talking about? A consistent fellowship with His Word. Why? That you may observe to do all the according to written therein. Now notice this, for then. Everybody say then. Not before then, then. Then, after you have feasted, after you day and night have made a consistent time to sit down and feed on God's Word, which what that does is strengthens your inner man, which that's what God's leading out of, that's what you're living out of to be successful. He said, then shall, hallelujah, then shall you, not God, you make your own way.
Amen.
Praise God. Prosperous, and then you shall have good success. I want to look at something real quick. First of all, let's look at the Word. Let's see where he talks about the Word here. The book of the law, number one, shall not depart of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein, the Word, to do all day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written there in three. Three times the Word of God is mentioned in there, right? Now let's look at another word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, one, your, but you, that's two, shall meditate therein day and night, that you, three, may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you, four, shall make your, five, way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. You're mentioned six times, the Word's mentioned three, God's mentioned zero.
That's right, amen.
God's mentioned zero. Prayer's mentioned zero, but you're mentioned six times, and the Word's mentioned three times. Your success in life comes down to what you do with the Word of God.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Why? Because the more you're in it, the stronger your spirit gets, and God's leading by the Spirit. Now, don't run into a ditch and say, Pastor, just say, I don't need God to succeed. No, God did His part by giving you the Word.
That's right.
Amen. He's already done His part.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Then you shall have good success. Praise God. Hallelujah. You shall be prosperous, not before then. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if you want to hear from heaven, you want to know what God's saying to you concerning every question, every decision, every situation, you got to be a feaster upon his word. Yes. Amen. You got to be a feaster upon his word. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for number two?
Amen.
How to make your own spirit sensitive. Number two. Now, oh, I'm so glad that we have a good turnout today. Usually happens this way when we talk about this. Praise God. Number two, you want your spirit man to become more sensitive, then you are going to have to become spirit conscious. And what I mean by that is by praying in the spirit. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14:2, and then I'm going to make a disclaimer before people get all nervous and start running out of here. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. Now remember, this is the Bible. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, now look at the rest of this, speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands it. Here it is. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. The Bible says when one speaks in tongues, they're communicating directly with God. That in the spirit realm, that's a realm of talking to God that goes outside the natural and inside the spiritual or the supernatural. If you want to learn to be proficient in following the Spirit of God, you need to spend much time praying in other tongues. Now, before you get nervous at that T word, let me make a disclaimer here. Amen? Are you ready? It's important when we come across things in the Bible. First of all, the Word of God says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. There are things in the Bible. Well, it happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out and they prayed in tongues. They thought they were drunk. They said, are they drunk? It's the third hour of the day. What are they doing hammered this early? They thought it tripped them up. It was weird. It was weird to them. Well, the Bible says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to receive from this, you are going to have to throw away what grandma said, if grandma said something wrong. You're going to have to throw away what Reverend so-and-so said, if what Reverend so-and-so said is not the Bible. You're going to have to make up your mind, I'm going to look at the Bible. I'm going to look at the Word of God. I don't care what I thought. I don't care what some well-respected person that I knew thought. This is the Bible. And my God, if it's the Bible, I'm going to take it. Amen. The Bible is our final authority, not grandma and grandpa so-and-so and daddy so-and-so and minister so-and-so. And I say this to you, who gives a flutie-tootie what I say if it's not the Bible?
Right?
We got to stick with the Word. So go with me real quick to Mark 16 and verse 15. I want to show you some things before I talk about praying in tongues. I want to show you some things real quick. Now again, throw out what you think, because you already might have heard that word, and all of a sudden, oh boy, the wheels are turning. He said the word tongues in church. I know those crazy tongue-talking churches. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's no doubt people have stayed away from it because churches have got into excess. But how many of you know there's a middle of the road for everything? There's a middle of the road for everything. When things are done according to order in the Word of God, it's not spooky and ooky and weird. He said in Mark 16 and verse 15, we call this the Great Commission, where Jesus gave us a commission to go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, verse 16, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Notice it doesn't say that he that is baptized not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. We ought to get baptized, but my God, don't get me started on that. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Guess you got to believe in it. In my name they shall cast out devils. That's what Jesus said. You ought to have a devil casting out ministry in your life.
Amen.
So, I don't know about that. That's what Jesus said. Yeah. He said, they that believe, these signs will follow them that believe. See, the problem is people don't believe in this stuff. Somewhere along lines in church history, it's been so watered down that the signs, wonders, and miracles, oh, that was for then. Why was that for then? Why is it not for now?
Yeah.
My Bible doesn't have an expiration date on it.
Right.
Yours might, mine don't. It says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall, everybody say shall, speak with new tongues.
Amen.
That's Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus said, One of the things that believers, when they get born again, can walk into is the ability to speak with new tongues. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18. I don't have a whole time to teach all this. In fact, I have a couple Holy Ghost baptism classes online that you can go listen to. We methodically went through the whole thing. There's so much in the Bible about it. I didn't know about it growing up. She didn't know about it growing up. A lot of you didn't know about it growing up. But when we saw the Word, I don't know if you felt like I felt, but I thought, my God, where's this been my whole life? No one told me this stuff. Well, people get scared and they get down on what they don't know. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Now, this is Paul. Do you think Paul knew what he was doing? Amen. God used him, didn't he? He said, he's a chosen vessel of mine. He wrote most of the New Testament. He did more for Jesus than we can do in 10 lifetimes. Had more visitations from Jesus face to face than we can have in 10 lifetimes. Paul the apostle said, I thank my God. Same God, it's your God. He said, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, if tongues was such a bad thing, why is the greatest apostle to ever live shouting 1 Corinthians 14, 18? It's like a billboard for tongues. He's saying, I'm a tongue talker, and I'm proud of it. And in fact, I do it more than all of you. That's what he said. I thank my God I do it more than you all. Well, I guess it's not of the devil. That's what I was taught. I guess it's not weird. Right. Maybe it's us that needs to get our thinking. You know, ladies and gentlemen, this might come as a surprise, but you might not know it all.
That's right.
I'm not being that to be demeaning, but you might not know everything. I'll tell you what, there's a lot I had to learn, had to renew my mind to when I came into Christianity that taught the Word of God. Because where I grew up, man, they didn't teach any of this kind of stuff. So, okay, Paul, you said that. Hallelujah. Now, we don't have time to turn there, but in Acts chapter 2, you can just write this for your own reference. That was the day the Holy Ghost was poured out, the day of Pentecost. They were in the upper room. The Bible said there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and cloven tongues sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. Well, when they began to speak in tongues, it got noised about, and people heard it. They thought they were crazy. That's where they said, my God, these people are drunk. It's the third hour of the day. And then Peter stood up. He said, these people are not drunk as you suppose, but this is what was spoken. This is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel in the last days. And he went on and preached a sermon. And now he's only preaching a sermon about the Spirit being poured out based on because people said that praying in tongues business was crazy. But at the end of Acts chapter 2, Peter said, repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the gift that he's preaching about shall come upon you, for it's for all that would call upon the name of the Lord. It's available to everybody, but it comes through faith. Hallelujah. So, without teaching you why the Bible tells you that tongues is for today and that tongues is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost, you can get all that on that Holy Ghost baptism class online. I want to show you why praying in tongues much is so imperative if you're going to be somebody that's guided and directed. Now, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Here's why your spirit man needs to be strong and big. Because God leads in the still, small voice. He's not in the thunderings. He's not in the fire. He's not in the earthquake. But the Bible says he's in the still, small voice. And if your flesh is loud, and if your mind is loud, and you're not spirit conscious, God will be telling you, hey, make a turn here in your life. Do this with your money. Put this in the offering. Give this to somebody. Do this. Talk to this person. And you can miss the whole thing. But when our spirit man gets sensitive, praise God, we'll be more apt and more in tune to pick things up. Go with me to Romans 8 and verse 13. Now remember, praying in tongues, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2, is praying in the Spirit. Well, what are we led by? The Spirit. So praying in tongues is a spiritual exercise. When we pray, Father, we ask you to bless this food, we ask you to bless our children, that's praying in the natural man. Nothing wrong with that, but there's only so far you can go in the natural man. But praying in tongues is limitless. You can pray hours in tongues. And the Bible says when you're doing so, you're speaking directly unto God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Now you might say, Pastor Mike, you hold your spot here in Romans chapter 8. Because one of the main things that holds people back, go with me real quick. Kim Lai, if you'd turn there. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's see here. 14 in verse 14. They say, Pastor Mike, that tongues business, yada, 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 it's a bunch of gibberish. And I would say to you, naturally in your mind of what you hear, you are darn right. It's a bunch of gibberish that does not make sense. But the Bible tells us, if I pray in an unknown tongue, notice this, my spirit. Now, what's God lead by? The spirit. The candle of the Lord is the spirit of man. He said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But here's the thing. But my understanding up here is unfruitful. What's he saying? When you pray in tongues, your mind is not going to have a lick of knowing what in the world is going on. And that's why people have held back. They hear somebody else say, oh, that's craziness. What is all that gibberish? That gibberish is your spirit communicating with God.
Amen.
When somebody prays in tongues, that, now again, there's an order and when you should do it and what's right in a church and in your private life. No doubt people have mixed that stuff up and have hurt people before. But the Bible says when I pray in the spirit, I'm speaking unto God. My spirit prays. Hallelujah. I'm fellowshipping with the Father. I'm given first place to the very region that is going to be the thing that's going to lead me into the paths of God. But people say, I don't want that tongues business because I don't understand it. You're not supposed to understand it. The Bible said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And Jesus said, this he spake of the Spirit, which they that should believe on him should receive. It should come from your belly, up and out of your mouth. It should never get to your head. Because the Bible says your head won't understand it. I'll go back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 13, hallelujah, praise his name forevermore. He said, for if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And we talked about this with the body and the habits and addictions and the things and the laziness and the carnality. That one way we can get it taken care of is through the Spirit. Well, one way you make your spirit stronger is through the Word. But the other way you make your spirit stronger is through praying in tongues. You say, Pastor, you're going to have to show me proof of that. And I'm glad you asked. But you know what's interesting? He talks about through the Spirit mortifying the deeds of the body. And then the very next verse, he says, for they that are led by the Spirit, they're the sons of God. If you're ever going to get to the place where you're led by the Spirit, you better take care of that body first.
Amen.
You better take care of that body, and you better take care of that mind. Hallelujah. That's why he said the Word can divide the mind and the spirit. I love it. Very next verse. Many as are led. He said, first take care of the flesh, then as many as are led by the Spirit. So I just told you that through the Spirit, you mortify or get rid of the deeds of the body, make your body go quieter, the carnal man go quieter, by praying in tongues through the Spirit. Remember he said, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 14 said, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So if we give time praying in tongues, according to Romans 8:13, it should mortify the deeds of the body. How so? Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. It says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, now notice this, edifieth himself. That word edify means to like rise higher and higher like an edifice. It means to charge up or to build oneself up. Paul is saying the one that prays in tongues edifies himself. Now let me just correct religion out there, because religion says, oh, pastor, you think you know it all. This tongues business isn't for today. Because Paul in the very next line says, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church, and prophecies better. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is in the church, but not in a private setting. Glory to God. Paul got done already telling you, I thank my God, I pray more than all of you. But he said, when I get in a church, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible, understandable words than 1,000 words in a tongue. If I come in here and start praying in tongues, I'll be edified, because the Bible says it, but you won't get a lick out of anything. He says, in the church, prophecy is better. That word prophecy means speaking unto men under exhortation, edification, and comfort. It doesn't mean speaking the future. It's talking about building people up. He says, as a minister, it's better if I come in and build you up with the Word of God than come here and stand up here and pray in tongues. In fact, he talks about when tongues is in a church setting, that it should be interpreted, and then it's a blessing to people, right? And that's one of the 9 ministry gifts, the interpretation of tongues. When somebody would speak in a tongue, and somebody in the church would get it in their spirit, and have that interpretation and know exactly what God is saying. Yeah, that exists. I know. I know it seems crazy to the natural mind, but that's what the Bible says. So he says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Why aren't Christians edified? Because they don't pray in tongues. You remember what Jesus said over there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8? He told people that were already born again. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high, the promise of the Father. He said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Notice what he's saying. You didn't get all the Holy Ghost you ever got when you got born again. These were born again Christians who saw Jesus after he was born again. He said, don't leave Jerusalem, for you'll receive power. So when people don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost or the evidence of speaking in tongues, they're walking around in life as Christians who have no power. Doesn't mean you're less loved. Doesn't mean that you're not going to the same heaven, but life will look different. Jesus commanded them. He said, I command you, don't leave Jerusalem. You can't go out there in a world run by the devil without the power. Why do we think if the disciples couldn't do it without the power, why do we think we can? I don't, that tongue, every time pastor brings that up, I'm just not comfortable. Are you comfortable with no power? Are you comfortable with no power? Are you comfortable being dominated by the devil?
That's so good.
Don't look at me that way. You smile out there. I'm working hard up here. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling the truth. Are you comfortable with no power? That holy tongues business. Jesus, what would you do if Jesus, he is commanding you in the word. Go to verse 4, please. Of Acts chapter 1. My God. Be assembled together with them, commanded them. Do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. These are people that are born again. They're on their way to heaven. They're Christians. They've already seen Jesus die. How do you become a Christian? Believe that Jesus died and rose again. He had died and rose again at this time. They saw him, they believed it. They're born again. But he said, oh, no, Christian. That's not all you need to go out there. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the greatest thing that ever happened to me apart from salvation.
Amen.
Oh, life changes.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's kind of like this. You know, a lot of Christians that don't have the Holy Ghost, they always say this to me. I sense there's something more. There's got to be something more than this. I just, there's something more. In my prayer life, there's something more. There's got to be more. Yeah, it's called void of power.
Right.
When you're void of power, it's noticeable.
Right.
Yeah. And people, listen, ladies and gentlemen, your job isn't to be comfortable. God's word is not to conform to your comforts. Your job is to conform to his word, regardless of the comfort level. Listen, tithing was not comfortable for me, but it was the word that changed my life. Giving was not comfortable for me, but it was the word that changed my life. Walking in love at times and forgiving the unforgivable is not comfortable for me, but it keeps me in faith and keeps things working in my life. I don't go by what's comfortable to me. That's called being led by the flesh, ladies and gentlemen. Big, baby, carnal Christians. I'm not comfortable with that. Keep being led by your flesh. Go ahead. The flesh profits nothing. Amen. A little bit passionate about this. You know why? Because the devil lies to people about this doctrine. That's why churches don't talk about it. That's why people are afraid to talk about it. Well, pastors are afraid to talk about it because, number one, either they don't know, or number two, people won't come back. Well, I'm not trying to fill seats. I'm trying to stand before Jesus someday and have him say, you know what? You did your best to lead my people. Praise God. That's what I'm here to do. And the word says, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait. Well, when they did wait, over there in Acts chapter 2 is when the promise came. They got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues. And I'll go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. It says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. And no wonder Paul was able to go everywhere and kick the living snot out of the devil. He was so built up. Why? He said, I pray in tongues more than y'all. He was walking city to city, just praying in tongues. Under his breath, just praying in tongues. What was he doing? Building himself up.
Amen.
Well, we've seen some things today. Why our spirit man's not so loud? We're not feasting on it. We're not doing the right thing. Go with me to Jude chapter 20. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Jude 20. Jude 20. Notice this. But you, beloved, building up yourselves. Now you have to understand. Yourselves is not your natural man. Yourselves is your spirit man. Remember when Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9? He said, I discipline my body. He said, I bring it into subjection. He said, I bring it. If I say I'm bringing this or bringing this, this is separate for me. Paul said, I bring it, concerning his body, into subjection. He's saying, I. Who's the I? The spirit man of Paul. He's saying, I. So when he says building up Jude, not Judges, Kimlai, Jude, the last book before Revelation. It's just one chapter, Jude 20. Building up yourselves. When he's talking about building up yourself, he's talking about building up your spirit, man. That's the real you. How? On your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, remember what he said in 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:2, if I pray in an unknown tongue, I speak not unto men, but unto God, howbeit in the spirit. He said, how are you going to build yourself up? The same way he told you in verse 4. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself up or charges himself up. Praying in the Holy Ghost. The person that will spend, Brother Hagin said this, he said his greatest financial breakthroughs, his greatest spiritual breakthroughs came after prolonged periods of praying in tongues. Why? You get so built up. You get so, when you're praying in tongues, you're giving your spirit, man, first place. Amen. You're telling your mind to shut up. Yeah. You're telling your body, shut up. I'm giving my spirit, man, opportunity to communicate in fellowship with the Father. The more you do that, the more sensitive. And I know I'm just going to say it right now. I'm going to call it out right now. Are you ready for this? There are people in here right now saying, I don't care what he says. I'll not get filled. I will not speak with tongues. You go ahead and keep believing that. You're going to keep missing out in your life.
Right.
You just are.
Yeah.
You're going to live, I don't mean a lesser loved life or a lesser life when you get to heaven, but your life will look different than it could be. But people, it's kind of like I talk about there's power in worship. Because I don't care what he says. I'm going to worship the way I want. Go ahead. The Bible says that the ones that are blessed are the ones that do the word. I saw this. I said, my God, Jesus commanded. If he commanded it to them, I got to have it too.
Right.
You know, the people that just all of a sudden just dive into the pool, they're the ones that had the most fun.
Yeah.
You know, I was that kid that tiptoed on the side for the party that was an hour long, and I tiptoed on the side because it was cold for a half an hour. While all the other kids were in there swimming, I was the chicken. I was. Finally, I jump in and realize, my God, this ain't that bad.
Yeah.
And I had fun. And then time ended. I'm like, well, that didn't take that long. The other kids are ready to go eat and open presents. I'm ready to keep swimming. Well, I didn't get enough time. That's what Christians do. They tiptoe around and think, oh, I don't know. It's in there.
Yeah.
It's in here.
Yeah.
All you have to do is make up your mind. It's in there. I'm going to take a leap. It's in there. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God loves you. He loves you. He gave you a way to communicate with your spirit, the real you. See, we have to become more spirit-minded than natural-minded.
That
realm built this realm. That realm created this realm. That realm is more real than this realm. The natural is passing away. The spiritual lives forever.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Praise God.
Thank
well, we'll close right there. You can go ahead and shut your Bibles. Two ways to make your spirit more sensitive. Much time in the Word, much time praying in tongues, if you want to be led. Now, before we close the service, we are going to give a salvation call. But also, I'm going to give people an opportunity to come up and receive the Holy Ghost. We'll put a song on. And you know, there are times when it is okay, when people are receiving the gift after you teach on it. Or we'll give people an opportunity to receive the Holy Spirit. And so many people have received the Holy Spirit under this ministry. And we're thankful for it. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you and glorify you and magnify you. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the gift of the Word. We're so blessed, so thankful. Father, we love you so much. We praise you and magnify you. We glorify you and magnify you. We honor you and praise you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We honor you and praise and magnify you. We glorify you. Thank you, Father. With heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on earth, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, I know the answer is yes. Because the Bible says if I receive Jesus, which I have, the Bible said if I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, which I do, he said I will be saved and not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're here this morning, you can say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I go to heaven. Well, you can be sure. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We won't embarrass you. We won't have you come forward. Won't have you stand up and say anything on your own. But if you're here, you can say, Pastor Mike, I want to receive Jesus. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to embarrass anybody. Would you just lift your hand in the air if you want to receive Jesus this morning? You don't have to. No, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll tell you to put your hand right down. Just lift it up nice and high. Anybody want to know they're going to heaven? That's what you're just. If you say, I believe in Jesus, I believe he died and rose again. Well, then let's pray together. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand high in the air. You say, how do I know to do that? Well, your heart's telling you. Raise your hand, raise your hand, raise your hand. Your flesh is saying, keep it down, keep it down, keep it down. Your mind's saying, keep it down. But your heart's saying, that's me. He's talking about me. Don't miss it. Anybody want to receive Jesus before we close? Lift your hand high in the air if you do. Anybody at all? I see that hand. You can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. See, that's why we don't rush this, because I don't know if people maybe think I am going to embarrass them. I promise you I won't. Anybody else, before we close this, want to know for sure? You know, a lot of times people think, well, I've been a good person. Well, I went to church. Well, that doesn't get you in. Those are good things, but they don't get you in. Anybody else want to receive Jesus before we close? Just lift your hand high in the sky and put it right back down. I see that hand. You can put it down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus this morning? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise God. Anybody else before we close? Anybody else before we close? Father, we're so thankful. We had a few hands. Lord, you've made it so simple. You're so loving. The simplicity of receiving you is such a demonstration of your love. We thank you, Father. We bless you this morning. Now, for those of you that raised your hand, there's one thing left to do. The Bible says you have to call on his name. But I told you I would not embarrass you. I told you I would not call you up front. But you do need to ask the Lord into your heart. So we're going to pray as a congregation, all in one accord, lifting our voices. And we're going to repeat after me what I say. But when I tell you what to say, don't just say it, but mean it with all your heart. We're just basically going to be inviting Jesus into our heart and confessing what we believe. So everybody, including the people that raised your hand, say this from your heart. Say,
Dear Jesus,
I believe
that you died on the cross
for my sins.
I believe
that you rose from the dead.
And I ask you
to come into my heart.
Thank you for saving me.
In Jesus' name. Amen.